broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. James Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Levin.
Is your eye a favorite?
Johnny Hinder.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
And we are back, the Talking Brawls podcast on SevereMMA.com. Back after a couple of weeks away from your ears. Obviously, you might have followed our coverage at UFC Belfast. Just back from there last Sunday night. Decent fight card in the end, and obviously New York the week before. I'm your host, Niall McGrath. And alongside me, across the road, down on just off the M50 in Blanchardstown, it's Mr. Peter Carroll. Petey, what's happening, man? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, it's good to hear your voice again. I felt lost without you here for the last few days, you know.
Yeah, we've been
used to being around you. Okay. Now, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to be this far away.
To be honest, Joe, I'm delighted that I've had a few days away from you. Yourself and Graham were pretty much bullying me for the weekend over there in Belfast.
Together we were, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, ganging up on me. It was they're a terrible bunch, those two. But no, it was good fun. Listen, Belfast was great. I really enjoyed the card in the end from the fights that I did get to see. Rewatched a few of them there last night. Really good stuff from Gegard Mousasi. Uriah Hall all week, man. His mindset, he was weird all week, wasn't he? Did you not get that sense off the interview with Mike Bonner?
I think he was more pissed off at the fact that, you know, he got his scales. It was 2 pounds heavier than he says he was, so he thought he was 185, and then when he went in to weigh in, he was 183 or something, so he was pissed off about that.
Yeah, he went to town.
You know, things like that are very annoying, like, you know what I mean? Because that would take, like, add a lot more to him getting back to 100% before the fight, or whatever percent they get to.
Yeah.
You could see the way he fought, he was very composed. He was talking to me before the fight, and he was like, he was like, you know, it's stupid. When I looked at the fight, like, I used to just think, how stupid was it? Because that was the worst way he could have fought. You know what I mean? With him trying them kind of kicks at you and you rushing into attacks. So he saw it completely. He picked his moment really well, took him down, finished him really good. But, there was obviously talk about now Northern Irish guy on the card there. And, I thought the event was really, really good. I thought the fans were brilliant. They were brilliant. But, Do you still see value in having a Northern Irish guy there, even in hindsight of the event? It got its memorable moment with Conor and Artem, and Artem got a big win, of course. It didn't go so well for Charlie, but do you think the Northern Irish card should have a Northern Irish fighter on?
Yeah, because I think what happened on Saturday night was a lot of people came up from the south. You know, a lot of the fans there, we know, were coming up from the south. A lot of listeners of our show met Farrell briefly just before we were recording with Neil the other night. There was a huge amount of people from the south of the island. I think it would be good to have a local guy on the card.
It's just there wasn't a buzz around the city, really, wasn't there?
That's what I mean. That's what it creates, a bit of a local excitement. You know, as I said, they could have even drifted in, Norman Park back for even one fight.
Back for just, like, talking, having a conversation with Alan Philpott on Twitter about this. Like, it's not, getting all political and shit like that. I don't think that's the furthest thing from what we're trying to suggest here.
Why, what did you say to Alan? What happened with Alan?
No, Alan was just like, you know, could have done with a local fighter on the card, and then they were saying, but there's plenty of people up there that represent as Irish, and they shouldn't have to do this and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there's plenty of people that don't as well. There's plenty of, like, that's neither here nor there. Like, the local talent is really what people want to see getting to that big stage. You know what I mean?
And especially in these European cards, if you look anywhere else in Europe, they have local guys from that Pacific region that the card's on and that they use and have on these cards. So I thought it would have been nice to have a local guy as well. I do agree with you on that one. Okay, before we start waffling on too much like we always do, you can get in contact with us on Twitter. I'm at IMAGRAPH4, he's at PT Carroll, at SevereMMA, at Talking Brawls, and on our phone line, which I actually haven't turned on in about 2 weeks. It's +353 838 580862. It's still in my bag there. I've only just sorted out my equipment and set it all back up here in my little office for the podcast today. So apologies about that. I don't even know if we've any questions. Did you tweet out at PT?
No
questions. Okay, we'll bang one up quickly anyway, in a second, and see if anyone wants to get their questions in. But it's probably not a good time of the day. Mark Diakese will be joining us on the show later on to talk about his upcoming fight at UFC Albany in upstate New York against Frankie Perez, the returning Frankie Perez, a man who took a little bit of a hiatus. So looking forward to catching up with Mark Diakese later on ahead of that fight. We'll also be talking a little bit about the UFC Brasilia card, but
Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo, UFC Sao Paulo card, which went down last weekend. Obviously, Ryan Bader defeating Lil Nog in that main event. Claudia Gadelha also victorious. And Ricardo Almeida, Thomas Almeida, got back in the win column after that loss to Cody Garbrandt a couple of months ago. I think it was back in July. So we'll be nattering about that. But we'll stick to Belfast, I think, for the moment, Petey, as well.
I've got to ask you, right? So on the topic of Belfast, I really get the feeling that without Artem's fight there and without Conor in the building, the buzz wouldn't have been insane there at the weekend.
Not at all.
Because even on press row, the fans, and it was great. Like it was. They were making their own fun. They were absolutely brilliant, and they were having plenty of Conor chances. He was there and stuff, but it seemed to really reach fever pitch with Lobov's win when he got into the cage and stuff. How much do you think it was missing Siri, that card? Another Irish fighter,
massive. Because just the whole buzz of that fight alone was, let's be honest, Petey, 90% of the reason why we travelled up to Belfast, and we would have gone anyway, but a huge portion of that reason was because Neil Seary was fighting Ian McCall.
Absolutely.
That
and
was
I mean,
the
even
fight everyone was looking forward
stuff,
to.
You know, we're freelance workers here, it really dried up there after Seary got taken off the carriage, you know what I mean?
Do you not remember how devastated we were? We were in an Airbnb, and someone said it jokingly. Well, not jokingly, being serious. I thought it was a joke. I was like, lad, shut the fuck up.
Dave said it.
Yeah.
Dave.
And I was like, shut up. And I went back to sleep.
And it just went around like a chain reaction around there. So, shut up, Dave. Shut up, Dave.
It was like a bad version of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, it was.
It was shocking, no, because, you know, I reached out to Ian. Hopefully, I'll be catching up with Ian in the next couple of days. So, do look out for that one.
Yeah, it was how close it was to the fight. It was just, I don't think I really noticed how bad it was until I'm talking to him on Saturday night, and he's like, it should have been over here for me already. What I mean? His life is taking a serious detour now because that fight didn't happen. You know what I mean? So it's
big time. I want to ask you a question, and we ask it to Andy. Psychologically, is that an issue for Neil now? Do you think going forward?
No, I don't think. I think he's just pissed off. I think the more pissed off he is, the better, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just the frustration of it when it's all happening in the moment. You know what I mean?
But what do you make
Ian
McCall
now?
It's
to have a level head and act like a robot when this is meant to be the last night you ever fought in your home country, everything. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to see where they put him now. So that's going to be interesting.
Well, what do you think? Do you want to see Brad Pickett? Do you want to see the Ian McCall match? What do you think is going to happen?
I think McCall is the prestige name that he was looking for. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to go out against one of the great names of the flyweight division. It's a shame that he would lose that fight. The thing that's gone now, you'd have to think, is the Irish, being in Ireland.
Should we be annoyed with Brad Pickett?
I don't know if we should.
I sort of think we should because...
There was no way he possibly could have fought Neil, especially as he knew Neil was just about to weigh in at 125 pounds. To suggest that he'd love to jump in, and maybe it was just one of them things he said in the heat of the moment.
Okay.
But it's kind of hard when he's at the Q&A, knowing that Siri had agreed to fight him at 135 and him saying, oh, no, I'm 150. So basically, there's absolutely no way this fight can happen.
Yeah.
To say at the Q&A then that he was, oh, well, I wanted to fight today, but,
Yeah, it's kind of, I think he's trying to be
I don't
sort
think
of
he
the
meant
hero.
It, to be honest. Yeah, I don't. Okay. It's just when everything like that is happening, you can understand how frustrating that was for Siri.
Oh, yeah.
To have a fella say he'd fight him. And a guy, he had fought before and it would mean something slightly, but then to find out this guy is nowhere near fight.
It's disappointing.
It's just a crusher. He felt what was the point in that? It's like taking the piss out of it. Like, realistically, as we found off Mark Ratner, Brad Pickett would have had like about 5 minutes to lose 20 odd pounds. Like,
but he didn't even have his medicals done either, so that was
I mean, there was absolutely no way it could happen. But it's very hard, like, you know, to like, it gets very heady in the heat at the moment. Yeah. So, I mean, it was, and people asked about the Mark Ratner portion of that interview there the other day. He actually had a taxi right now.
That's why we were so quick.
We kind of had to rush through it very quickly.
He was literally, there was his two mates that were with him. We're waiting in the taxi, so he like literally very appreciative of the time. I'm a bit my head's a bit dusty today. I had a few points last night for my birthday.
What did you think? Right, imagine Artem isn't on the bank card, right?
Yeah,
Volkov, Johnson, Stevie Ray, and Ross Pearson. Like, I mean, they didn't bring the house down. Let's be honest,
not at all. It would have been screwed.
Like, and even Volkov and Johnson, it was a good fight, but people are forgetting that the crowd actually made most of the crack there during the second and the third round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they actually, like, there was a lot of clinching up against the fence. Timothy Johnson obviously got the big uppercut there that knocked Volkov down in the front round. It was really, really entertaining for him.
Yeah, but it was like a
part. You know, the event came off very well for UFC, I think.
It did. They were lucky. And I think they were lucky that, as you said there, Artem was on it. Because Artem even got the biggest pop of the weigh-ins the night before.
How did he not get a Friday night bonus?
Yeah. Who got the bonuses? We were at it. I can't even remember.
There was no Friday night bonus. Jack Martian did brilliant. He deserved a bonus, I suppose. Kevin Lee. But Justin Ledet and Abdul Razak Al-Hazan for beating Charlie.
Yeah, that was a really good performance.
It was a really good performance. But, I mean, surely if there's a Friday night there, it's...
That?
Yeah, it's Artem's, like.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree 100%. Has to be. It was the best fight in the card, hands down. Really good performance. Is that Artem's best performance of his career, do you think? A lot of people were branding that around.
His career, definitely his UFC career. You know what I mean? Artem's done some crazy impressive things. Like, you know, that beating Dave Hill in his, like, I think it was his first or second fight. You know, Dave Hill was considered one of the best fighters in Europe then. Yeah. You know, when he beat him. Like, he has some very impressive wins. I don't know if it's his best win ever, but I mean, it's like, look at it. Like, the Arosa win is absolutely magic, really. Like, when you consider what Arosa done to Paddy Houlihan and the trouble he put him in, and Cage Warriors Unplugged, and then you consider that, you know, Artem.
Paddy Pimblett.
Yeah, sorry, Paddy Houlihan, did I say? Sorry. Yeah, when you consider how quickly Artem put him away, I mean, that's crazy impressive.
Yeah.
It was an impressive fight for him. You know, I hope he continues his momentum with the featherweight division.
What would you like to see him do next?
I think it was Sean who tweeted out, Feely, but I think Feely's matched already, isn't he?
Andre Touchy Feely. I don't even know if he's matched. I couldn't tell you.
I think that's a nice fight. I think that certainly makes sense.
Let's have a look.
There's plenty of fights. Like, I mean, Artem really wants another kind of a name guy like himself. I don't know about this.
I can tell you, man.
I don't know. Has McMahon Americani been training SBG? Because if he hasn't, that would be a good crack.
Man, I don't know what's going on with McMahon. McMahon hasn't had a fight in over a year. I really don't know what's going on.
He's really cool on the phone and all, but it's very hard to strike up a relationship with the guy. You know what I mean?
He's guarded.
To be able to get back and forth, get quick interviews. You know, get some type of, you know, so you can get immediately onto him. I could never do that with him.
Yeah, he's guarded individual. I think he's a lot of things going on in his life.
I'm sure he does, man. You know, he's had a hectic upbringing anyway. Yeah, so
it's been pretty crazy. But that's definitely a fight I'd like to see. I don't know whether it'll happen or not because they've been.
No, I guess it's training. I guess they'd never do that, really.
But there's lots of interesting fights for her. I'd love to see, you know, someone similar even to his opponents. Someone who's, you know, I love seeing Artem in those fights where guys were, they'll just stand and bang with each other.
Gray Maynard.
Yeah, that'd be an awesome scrap, wouldn't it?
I think Gray's match as well, though.
Yeah, Gray's a match coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure. But, that's one I'd definitely like to see. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because of the allegiances. What about your boy?
I'd like to know what's going on with McMahon, though, right? Oh, fuck. Gray's fighting Ryan Hall.
That's right, yeah. In Albany, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen either.
Yeah, sure.
It's Cole Miller.
Yeah, what do you think? Hang on, what do you think of this one? Yair Rodriguez and BJ Penn being announced. What the fuck, man?
I actually, crazy. Again, Sean tweeted that, like, can't remember.
What are the UFC thinking?
I think I was on the way back from Belfast with yous, and I saw it, and I was like, Jesus Christ. But you know, you're on the driving, so yeah. I didn't get a chance to think about it. It's absolutely senseless. I don't see, like, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. That would have been a nice fight for Ekman. You know what I mean?
I'd love to see that Yair Rodriguez tested out against a guy like Artem, who throws the leather in every fucking punch. That would have been a great scrap. I think it's sense. There's no guarantee BJ Penn's even going to make that. Do you know what I mean? Like for his last two.
No, I was talking about BJ Penn. That's the guy everyone at featherweight should really be looking to fight on his comeback. Like, yeah. I mean, Yair Rodriguez seems like what does he have to gain from that? Like,
nothing.
I mean, it's kind of weird. Do you know they still have Paul Redmond listed as a UFC featherweight?
Really? Yeah. He should be. It was good catching up with Redger as well. Hope it's elbow gets a bit better soon.
What did you just say?
Sorry, a piece of ice in my mouth. I hope he gets better soon. His elbow's obviously fucked.
Yeah, it's absolutely bollocks.
Yeah, it's in a few pieces. Check out that interview if you haven't watched it. We caught up. We did a reaction piece to Andy Ryan.
We put it out very late, so I think a lot of people lost it.
But. Yeah, Redger and Mark Ratner. Just reaction. We were on the ball. Ariel liked
it
anyway.
I just feel, right, that overall, right, let's skip to the point of this Belfast thing. Well, like, last time and this time, they've given us very weak cards.
100%. They don't give a shit about us anymore. I've said that to you,
man. But, like, I mean, it's so, like, look at all the rest of the promotions coming into Ireland now.
They need
Everybody wants a piece. Like, UFC needs to start recognizing that, like, but people are talking about that. Maybe this Bama card is better than the UFC card. Like, that's a situation that should never exist.
Never exist.
If you're the UFC, you should not be allowing that to happen. And it's just out of complete lack of effort, really. Like,
But we talked about this, Petey, a couple of weeks ago. They don't give a fuck about Europe anymore. And, you know, even with the recent job cuts under the new regime, they're only focused on what they're doing and they're, you know,
but to
in
lose,
the United
like, I
States.
Know this market doesn't mean much to them without the pay-per-views and all, but they're going to lose it. Like, this is like battleships. If they don't come in and they put on good shows, and meanwhile, Bama and Bellator, like, even if you're not, you know, wouldn't consume them usually, it's something exciting. They're coming together. They're pushing the two brands together. You know, it's an opportunity for Irish fans to come and see some world talent, some local talent, and some, like, you know, emerging pro Irish talent, like, you know, with a view to going on to the biggest stages. It's just, like, look at all the local draw there.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, it's so important. Like, it's just, like, if Bama went up and did a show in Northern Ireland, they'd have all the next-gen guys there as well. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, I just think it's the way it's going. And inevitably, I think, you know, I mentioned a lot last year how weak the European cards were and my disappointment in them, and it's continued on this year. Obviously, we had that Manchester card.
No, but are we getting particularly shit ones? Like?
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, we are. Let's be honest.
Like, I mean, Ireland is getting particularly bad ones. Like, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, like, there was a few very good, like,
the card was brilliant. Like, I mean, the event as a whole was very, very good. And that was partially because of the fans, McGregor, Artem. Like, I mean,
Kevin Lee, in fairness to him as well.
Kevin Lee was brilliant, yeah. I mean, I think they were very lucky that all these athletes put on such a great show.
Yeah.
And I had such memories because they didn't build it that way.
Yeah, it was built terribly. There was no promotion put behind it really at all. I think 205 overshadowed it obviously quite a lot. You know, when we got back, we were sort of the fight we were most looking forward to was pulled, you know, a couple of days beforehand. And that was a big blow, I think. You know, from our mindset anyway, and of the consumption of the card. But listen, as you said, man, listen, serious performances from Kevin Lee. But what are they going to do, PT? We're still going to be fed this next year.
Like, what they're talking about potentially Dublin next year. You know, we need... I don't understand what they're... Like, they need to give us something here. Like, you know, they need to... Like, they keep coming back here. We keep on selling out
arenas,
stadiums. And I think because of the popularity of McGregor, they could probably continuously put on lackluster cards and... you know, they can get away with it because, you know, the UFC is so popular in Ireland at the moment, I guess.
It's the names the fans want. And there's definitely been a lack of big names. Obviously, emerging potential and guys that have been around, and one guy.
But listen to this, right? So, UFC fight night, Silva v Bisping, London.
Yeah.
Like, that's that, like, Silva, one of the biggest names in the sport, and Michael Bisping, the greatest English fighter who ever fought, right? Okay, here we go. What's next? Zagreb, former heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos against Ben Rothwell, title contender bout. Derek Lewis, Gabriel Gonzaga, Francis Ngannou. Like, I mean,
Ngannou, what a legend!
No, but like these are exciting. Like, you know, fights that people are like, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's a very exciting fight. You know what I mean? Then we go to Netherlands and you have Arlovski v Overeem.
Yeah, good fight.
Struve, Bigfoot Silva, like Gunnar Nelson, Albert Tumanov.
And then you go to Belfast.
No, but you had Horiguchi and Siri on that card as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? It's it's actually very annoying. Like, I mean, it is. Like, the European fans have really, really rallied behind these events. You know what I mean?
But none more so than the Irish.
Yeah.
And we are the ones who travel, you know, we go all over the world to watch
UFC Hamburg, Andrei Arlovski v Josh Barnett, Alexander Gustafsson v Jan Blachowicz, Ryan Bader v Ilir Latifi.
Latifi.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, these are all big, big fights. Like, they're not all big, big fights, but they're certainly a...
And what are you saying? We get Timothy Johnson, Alexander Volkov?
Huh? Yeah, like, to be honest, you know what I mean?
It's disappointing, but yeah, man, I don't know. I just think they've sort of given up on Europe. But I don't like the way they've treated the Irish fans, especially because it is their biggest market in Europe.
Think about the money that the Irish fans spend in getting over. Well, that's how you have a $2 million impression on, or whatever it was, on Las Vegas before a bet's even put down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
That's what has like Vegas eating out of Conor's lap at the moment, reducing their bans 3 times. Like, the fact that he can have that effect on Vegas.
Yeah. So
like, you know what I mean?
So will we sell Wolf tickets next year again?
I hope not. You know, I think Belfast obviously suffered with the lack of Syria and a lack of a...
Well, I'll tell you, Bellator might wake them up when they see, you know, the card that Bellator is putting
Bellator
on.
Bellator haven't bowled the world over with that card. They're very lucky.
Haven't,
like,
but
you know,
it's a seriously good Bama card.
It's a serious... I think the Bama card is better than the Bellator card. They're very lucky James is there and he's selling so well. And he's kind of used every opportunity they've given him to really sell the card.
Well, that might give the UFC the kick up the hole to put on a better card here next year.
It's exciting. The one thing that is about it is it's very exciting for Bellator.
Yeah.
You know, to do that with Bama, to even... You know, we used to always talk about how Cage Warriors showed the Irish MMA community the path to get to the UFC. You do well in Cage Warriors, then you get to the UFC. And now, like, Bama have, like, cut out that kind of guessing part. Like, if you're good on Bama and you can sell and you can, you know, keep a winning record, they'd definitely be interesting. You know what I mean? It's
100%.
Like, it's right there for the Irish guys. It's an even kind of shorter path, if you will.
Yeah.
But then there's always the thing that people say, oh, if you sign with Bellator, does that completely ruin you with the UFC?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. As this keeps progressing and this fighters union stuff keeps coming on and people like, you know, even McGregor at the very top of the game is kind of calling his own shots. This is all good for fighters kind of having more of a voice. So I think that's going to become more and more commonplace.
I agree. I think so. I think it's a good thing that Bellator are coming here in relation to what the UFC might do here next year. Another impressive performance I want to mention as well was Brett Johns. I thought he did very, very well.
Yeah, the Welsh fair play to them. They were great. The fans are brilliant. I'd say an event over there would be mental.
Yeah.
Would be mental.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm telling you, like, them two guys really did great.
Brett Johns set a record, you know that?
What?
He set a UFC record for most takedowns in one round, 11 in the first.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I was trying to keep counting the takedowns, and then at the end, like, in my reports, be like, multiple takedowns. Because you just couldn't keep it.
Mike Bond texted Abby and asked Abby to ask it.
A high number of takedowns. Yeah.
but again,
Marshman was brilliant. Like, getting into a striking match with Sitting Vlad is no joke.
I was surprised with that result.
And he was actually, you remind me a bit of Siri there off his back.
Yeah.
Didn't seem uncomfortable at all off his back, just that elbow on the head off. It was
pretty
good. I'd love to go to Wales for an event. I'd say they would be absolutely magic. There wasn't even that many of them there. Like, there was only about, I'd say there was about 500 Welsh fans max there. But the noise, they were absolutely brilliant.
They were brilliant.
A lot of banter as well, you know, between them and the Irish. I could see an event going down there very well.
Yeah, I was chatting to one of the Welsh reporters, Tyler, a nice girl, one of the Welsh ladies. She's doing a great job in promoting the sport there. So go check her stuff out on WalesOnline.com. Help the sport grow there. But yeah, I think a Welsh card would be unbelievable. And that's a place they should seriously consider doing. You know, I don't think it'd be curfew problems as well as the Millennium Stadium for a fucking big show if they want to put McGregor on there. We've mentioned that in the past.
Does it lose a bit of magic if it's not in Ireland, though?
No, that's a stadium, you know, it's been synonymous with Irish over the years. We won the Grand Slam of the rugby there. There's been Munster have played there, huge games. Leinster have played huge games.
So you mean outside of Dublin rather than Irish?
No, well, the rest of the country, Peter, not just Blanchardstown. The Republic of Blanchardstown, you fucking gimp.
So the south side of Dublin think a stadium in the UK is really great. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay, fuck off. Another one I just want to mention as well, Kevin Lee, superb performance. A guy I've always, he's definitely been one to watch out for. I fucking have. They've always put him on big cards. He's been on a good few Connors cards.
Oh, he's very good, but he's only rising to the occasion now, and he's doing it in tremendous fashion, though.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And we'll be catching up with him tomorrow as well. So look out for that next week on the show. We'll have the magical Kevin Lee.
The magical, are you going for? Yeah?
No, I am. I'm going to go magical now because I really respect
him. He's a handsome man, isn't he? 24 years of age. That is a handsome
man. I had a good chat with him afterwards in the bar, and we were going to actually do the interview on the Sunday, but we were a little bit too hungover, I think, to go down. So I've been in text contact with him. And I know
That was a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
You were off like schmoozing with these international guys, I was talking some real shit with some Irish fighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we weren't allowed up in the room.
Hell no.
That man is so interesting.
Siri
and Petey were getting it on.
He's a gangster.
Yeah. What a legend Siri was. So, you had a bit of pizza with him, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, I robbed his pizza, yeah. That was what I was up there to do. I think I pissed him off that was the bit that pushed him over the edge. If anything, you know, he's had a bad weekend, but me stealing his pizza definitely was the worst thing that probably happened. Yeah. Let's just hope that fight gets going again somewhere.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I can imagine the disappointment. Like, fuck.
Yeah, sure. We were good.
We've already talked about this.
Yeah,
though.
We have. Let's not go. We're still going to be talking about it. So, yeah, we have Kevin Lee on anyway tomorrow. I'm going to speak with him, so we'll have that next week on the show. I'm really looking forward to that one. Kevin's been selling himself really well, and I was chatting to his coach Rob Follis. Rob obviously looks after Misha, and a huge amount of other fighters in Extreme Couture there down in Las Vegas. So Kevin is, I think he's in Las Vegas, and as well, we have to mention Happy Thanksgiving to all our American colleagues and listeners of the show. We do appreciate your support.
Oh yeah, and I actually did meet some. Like I thought he was lying about this. The four people stopped me in New York. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, told you I wasn't lying.
That's like That's the first four times that's happened to me. So,
well, there you go. We do. We've a lot of listeners.
Lining me up, right? I'm not messing. I started looking around thinking that you had told someone to say it or something. So I made a bit of a fool of myself the first time it happened.
Yeah, no, we do. We do. We actually do. That's the thing. So I don't give a fuck. We appreciate them anyway. We love you guys. Come up and say hello to us anytime.
Why has ever invited me to your house to make me all that food, Luke?
I was a little bit annoyed this week. We didn't really get to catch up with, you know, there was a lot of the guys were around, listeners of the show and stuff, and we were just staying a little bit too far out of the town, I think, to really...
Yeah, we're staying in Bangor.
Yeah, 25-minute drive, so we didn't really get to hang around bar on fight night. Had a few beers with Mr. Corbusiero as well. He nearly fucking ate me, the prick.
He's a beast. Monster, that guy.
He's a beast. He picked me up and
oh my god, gave me a guillotine. Never ever seen anyone ragdoll someone like that in my life.
Yeah, and like I'm not.
He picked you up over like this guy is huge.
Yeah,
like he's Corbs is bleeding massive. Like he's about about 6'4".
6'4" has to be, yeah.
And he's as big, like he's as wide as a bus, but still, it's just the way he plucked you.
And I'm not a small fella either. Like, do you know what I mean?
And over his head, and just like having a laugh. I was like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, he's a big fucking dude.
Like he might be every bit as strong as me. Like.
Oh, Jesus, no. I wouldn't think he's quite as strong as you, Mr. Carroll.
I don't know, man. Like, you know.
It was good fun and all. It was good to see
you. That kind of shit for reps.
It was good to hang out with Felder as well. He was over as guest fighter. Handled himself. I think he cleared the air pretty well with the Irish fans. You know, he did. He did.
No, it's actually scary listening to the fighters talking about the shit they get off the Irish fans. Don't be one of them guys.
Yeah, it's terrible. Jesus, fucking hell, guys, leave them alone.
He's afraid coming into Belfast.
Yeah, he was generally.
No, but like, I mean, it's mental. Like,
yeah,
it is. Like, you're grown men.
Behave like it.
Come on, these are athletes doing shit that you would never even dream of.
Exactly.
Behave That's like my guys. Fascination with the sports is meeting these guys, and they're so normal. Yeah. It's like, what? So I mean, you're talking to a person talking about attacking some fighter. Jesus Christ, you wouldn't dare do it. Like, but come on.
Fels was a bit worse for the wear on Saturday night. It was quite funny.
Says your man.
I was all right. I was pretty charred. We were charred. We weren't out of control or anything.
You were always out of control, McGrath.
No, I'm not. Fuck you. Prick. All right, and thanks for posting that shit of me on fucking Twitter and Facebook.
That's you when you're not drunk. Like,
you're a dickhead. I was watching United play Arsenal.
Come on. It's your 40th birthday yesterday. Come on.
It was
on,
my 40th. No, it was my 30th. Fuck's sake. Adding 10 years onto me, you prick. All right. No, good to catch up with everyone in Belfast.
Hey, you're really leaving that there,
yeah? and New York. Yeah, we're leaving there. We're going to go to our first interview.
30.
Yeah. It was my 30th. What are you fucking? I don't know what you're laughing at. You're always fucking adding years and numbers onto my age, you bollocks. To be honest, you look older than me, mate. And you haven't even hit 30. Everyone says it. You do. You look like a little crackhead.
You look like a fucking crackhead.
You know what you look like?
You'll see when I put up that picture of you in Manchester. They're all like, yeah, look, what's Niall worried for? He fits in. He looks like a fucking dad off Shameless.
You look like, you know, the fighter. What's your man's fucking name? The boxer from The Fighter. Come on. What's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Oh, Mickey Ward.
Yeah, what's Mickey Ward's brother's name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, you look like him when he's on crack.
No, come on now. So when are you going to tell people you're actually 40?
I'm not 40.
Listen,
I am 30. We're just going around. You check it on my Facebook. I turned 30 yesterday. Thanks for the birthday. I actually do. I appreciate it. I got a lot of...
changed that to 30.
I got a lot of love on social networks yesterday. I do appreciate it from everyone, all our listeners and fellow media members as well. So happy Thanksgiving. Have a great one. Okay, let's get to the first interview of the day. I caught up with Mark Diakase to talk about his upcoming fight at UFC Fight Night Albany, which takes place, I think, in 2 weeks' time. So check that out and we'll be back to talk a little bit about UFC Sao Paulo. Cheers.
This is Matthew Immortal Brown, and you're listening to Talking Brawl.
My next guest is a returning guest to the show, coming off a very impressive win on his UFC debut at UFC 203 against Lucas Soweski. And that is Mr. Mark Diakase, who is a big fight coming up, a quick turnaround in New York, upstate New York in Albany, against Frankie Perez. First of all, Mark, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you, my friend? How's all going? Obviously training very hard ahead of this fight.
All good. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant stuff. Great to have you back on again, man. First of all, I want to touch back on your debut fight in the UFC. Is it more of a relief to get it out of the way because of the expectations and pressure that a lot of people had on you going into that fight?
Yeah. So, you know, I've always said this, I don't have pressure on my back, you know, but it's just nice to know that I've got that first win out of the way, you know, and just moving forward. So looking to other things. Definitely. That's about it.
How did you assess that performance looking back on it now? Obviously the dust has settled a little bit. Were you pleased with it?
Well, I was pleased with it. I got the win, but there's a few things I did wrong in that fight. I rushed in a little bit, and I got taken down the way that I don't usually get taken down. And I know UFC fighters in my way will be watching that and obviously assessing it, thinking I'm weak on ground, which I've been like constantly working on now. For that main reason, but my boxing, I've just improved a lot more in my boxing as well.
Definitely. You look at that, I presume you're talking about the first round against Lucas. Yeah, it was. You know, I've obviously seen you fight a number of times and it was sort of, it's unlike you to get taken down that way, as you said. Was there maybe a little bit of nerves going into the octagon that night, making your debut?
No. You might call it nerves, I'm not sure what it is, but since I go in that ring, you know, I had that much support I didn't think I had. And I just wanted to just go for him. That's it. I just wanted to go for him and get the job done. That was it. I think that's what got me a little bit. But I didn't have the nerves or anything. I just wanted to go for him. But put a show for the fans. And obviously, I paid for it.
Definitely, yeah. He paid for it in the second round anyway when you got the finish. But, you know, going into that fight and the expectations around you, you know, you're a guy who a lot of people are talking about that's going to be, you know, a potential future champion at this moment. Does that frustrate you? Does that annoy you? Do you embrace that? How do you deal with it? Is it hard to stay grounded?
No, I'm always grounded, you know. It doesn't bother me. I can say all that, but, you know, you gotta put it on the table. If you don't do it, then, you know, we can say it, but you're going to do it. So I just embrace it and just keep waiting. It's nice to know people who know what I like, obviously, how far I can go with this sport. So it's just nice to get like a bit of extra motivation and keep pushing towards that gold. And that's what I'm doing. Just keep working hard and then stay grounded. Like, I don't really go out, you know. This is me, just stay at home, train, come back home and relax. And that's about it. So it's good.
I wish I was like that. I wish I could be able to control myself from going out. I'm a bit hungover, as I said to you today, Mark, because my birthday last night, a few too many Guinness. But I'd like to have that sort of mindset that you have. Let's look at the upcoming fight, Frankie Perez. You've taken the fight. You know, it's a really, really quick turnaround. Did you have to sit down with the team once you were offered that fight, or what was the thoughts on taking the fight so soon?
The main reason behind, obviously, I thought I came out injury free, and I felt like I didn't, you know, I enjoyed that time in the ring. It felt different. So as long as I'm coming out like free, injury free every time, I'm going to step back in again, because I'm just enjoying it now. It feels like this is what I'm meant to be doing now. So every time I come out injury free, I'm looking stepping back and straight back in again.
I'm going to ask you a similar question to what I asked you in the media day over there in Manchester. You know, you're a guy who I don't think people realise you're as good on the ground as you are. And you've only really sort of flourished in the stand-up in your last number of fights. And I see your Twitter, your social networks, everything. You seem to be really doing an awful lot of sparring on your feet. Is that sort of a compliment to your ability on the ground, that you don't really have to work on that as much?
Don't worry, I can't show everything, can I?
but is that the thinking? Is it, you know, that you're so comfortable on the deck that you're working more in your stand up and making that even better than it already is?
No, I work in all aspects. I don't just pick and choose which one to do. I work in it all, but I just like to post more of my stand up, really. But
yeah,
my grind is improving, because grind is where people pick a little pieces together, say, oh, this is doing wrong. So we don't have to show it too much. We just show it on the day. So, and that's the main reason, probably.
It's a smokescreen.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of shit talk between yourself and Frankie Perez. You know, what's your thoughts on him as an opponent? He's a guy, you know, a lot of people were very high on a couple of fights ago. He retired, I think, for a little time, and now he's back.
I've been talking.
Well, he was talking a bit. There was a bit of trash. You told him not.
It's try, then. It's try, bless him. Nah. Well, I respect him as an opponent. It seems to be alright, but I think it's a little bit. I don't like people, because I do this for my life. You know, I do this to better myself.
And yeah.
I feel like he's comfortable where he is. He's just doing it for sort of a name, come back and thinking he just get back in to start winning ways, thinking you can do it without, you know what I mean? Because this is my career, this is my living.
Mm.
Okay, he hasn't got the desire that I have. So to me, I take it very personal in that area. So I'm willing to go out there and show him that you got to, this is not, if you got to want it to be in it.
Do you think that you're already at an advantage because of that? Because, you know, I always say when a guy's thinking about retirement, it's never really a good sign for that fighter. I know he said it was because of financial reasons, etc., that he did pack it in. Do you feel as though you're an advantage already because of that reason?
I won't say that. I don't feel as like an advantage, but I just know my ability, the way I'm feeling now, I know I've got a big advantage of going in and finishing, stopping him.
And the fact you're fighting, I believe this is your first fight across the waters, transatlantic, in the US. What's the plan there? Are you going to go out a little bit earlier? You know, do you see that as a problem?
Well, I'm flying out next week on a Sunday, then come back. Obviously, I'm fighting on Friday and come back on a Saturday. And that's about it. But, you know, like now, if you do it, usually this time I'll be in bed, but I'm trying to stay up a little late.
A little bit later, yeah. Similar to what maybe what happened in Manchester. I think you were on about half 12, yeah?
Yeah.
So
that's about it, really. But nothing else changed. It's all the same, really, to be honest.
Two very highly touted young fighters, yourself and Frankie Perez.
He's not young.
Well, he's 27. I'm older than that, so it's young to me. All right. You're 23. You know, is this the fight? You know, you said you want to go after the titles quickly. You want to get those guys that are in the rankings. Is this the fight that gives you a guy that's going to be in the rankings next time out if you win this?
Well, I've got my eyes set on certain people after this. You know, I'm looking to, as soon as I get this win, I'm looking to call a few names out.
You can call them out here. Come on. Who are those names? Who are you after, Mark?
Let's get out. This one out of the way.
Okay.
Then I'll be calling a few names out. I'll be ready for them.
You will. Do you think that, you know, we had a guy last weekend and a guy I've been very impressed with over the last number of fights is Mr. Kevin Lee. He's the kind of guy, he's, you know, I spoke to him after, I'm going to speak with him again tomorrow. He's a guy that's sort of selling himself, promoting himself, calling out names, and he's doing it on purpose, and I respect that. I think, you know, a lot of the guys, there's not enough guys doing it. Is that a very important part of the fight game in your opinion, for you?
That's good on him. That's what he chose to do. My approach is different, and you know, we'll keep as it is. You know, one step at a time. I'll get this out of the way, you know, straight away. I know what to call next. I'm not calling out just because I want to call, you know what I mean? Because there's not... You won't be getting the fights that you're going to call anyway. So I'm making sure, by my performance, these fights I'm calling out, they are going to give me it. So that's all I'm doing.
What are we going to see? Are we going to see a brutal, bone-crushing display from Marty and Casey in a couple of weeks' time? How's it going to pan out?
That's the one. That's what we're going for.
You want the knockout?
Yeah, I want the knockout. Honestly, I think I'm a little bit obsessed with knockouts now. I just want to finish fights.
it's a smoke screen, guys. It's a smoke screen.
Yeah, I just want to finish.
These other tills. I believe you're watching a bit of American Horror Story. How was it? Was it good?
I've just started it. It's a bit annoying already. So.
Are you going to create your own American Horror Story for Frankie Perez?
It's so scary. Why would you go in the room when you've seen it? It seems to be scary. Why would you go in?
That's true.
You go out in it, you go the other way. But they seem to go in.
I presume you're planning on an American Horror Story for Frankie Perez, yeah?
No, you'll get a different one. You'll get it, the dark side.
Mark, it's a fight I'm very much looking forward to in a couple of weeks' time, and I know everyone over this side of the pond is. I really do appreciate the time, as always. It's always good to catch up with you and chat to you, mate. Best of luck in Albany, in New York, in a couple of weeks' time. Do appreciate the time.
Thank you.
And we are back. That was Mark Diakese. Big thanks to Mark for stopping by on the show today. I'm finding it hard this week, Petey. I have to say, and be honest.
Yeah, I've had a bad week.
I find it really hard to get back.
No, but I want to take some time off. Like, I don't think I've taken. I'm not being a drama queen here. I don't think I've taken a day off in 2 months. So I took 2 off when I came home. This is like my second day off. I'm still working.
I
ended up doing a bleeding article there yesterday on Haddock Grace's opponent or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
who's off for Fightland?
Yeah, your man. It's actually interesting.
Go check that out in Fightland.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just been, it's, I think after New York, it was just like, oh, it's just been a bit hard because that week was draining.
That was when Siri went off, right? It sent shockwaves through the house.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like, I mean, a few reporters we know just kind of went home and I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
they did.
Yeah.
Like, literally went home. And gave up on the card, but we wouldn't do that.
But gave up on the card, that's a bit harsh.
They did though.
But, no, like they didn't. They still covered the card, but I mean, they didn't see any advantage to being there.
Yeah, they moaned and bitched about it. Well, we just got on with it. I went to Tesco Extra for a
Tesco
dinner.
Extra. It's like Tesco with just a little bit extra.
Oh, it's a lot.
Sure, Graham will agree.
There's a lot of extra.
It's just like Tesco with a little
Graham,
bit extra.
Graham also likes to drink brown water. Was that the most awkward moment?
It was great
ever.
Having Graham back. You know, we missed a bit of Graham action in New York, so it was great to see him.
I don't want to see him for another fucking year now.
Ah, well, look, that the feeling's mutual, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I don't really want to see you either, prick.
You love me.
I don't at all. Not after the last 2 weeks.
Lucky I allowed you to toy my name, toy your neck to mine, and, you know, brought you all this mass appeal.
Oh, you're such a dick. Okay, you can
get now, can we just say thanks to Jim, though, for the cartoon? Did you see it?
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
It's
yeah,
cool, really isn't cool. It?
Really cool. And you made me look good, as you said. That was very hurtful, Peter.
Very difficult, yeah. It's very difficult to do that.
Yeah, nice one, Jim Dawson, for that. Jim Dawson, I presume his name is.
Well, don't presume anything. This is the just internet.
Yeah.
Some fella called Jim Dawson's going to, someone's going to be like, oh, Jim, great work on the severe thing there. And he's going to be like, what are you talking about?
Very cool. We'll have that up on as the main podcast logo. Do appreciate it, my man. Much obliged. great job. Do check out his stuff on Twitter at Jim Daw, and he's on Instagram as well. So,
oh, and here's another one for you. Do you remember Nico Vidal, the guy who makes the comic books of me and Siri?
No, yeah, you know, I remember that. Yeah,
the comics, yeah, the gas. But yeah, he actually had a special retirement one planned for Siri, but he couldn't release it then because he isn't retiring. So let's hope they get another fight made so we can see that soon.
Yeah, it'd be great. Obviously, there's a few cards I think coming up in January and February or March, which would be ideal, I think, if they're doing one here on this side of the
pond. I don't know if they're ideal. I don't know about that.
Well, maybe not. They're not ideal, obviously, for Neil, because he wanted to retire already. But there is, you know, there's a few cards coming up around that time that would be a decent probably turnaround time after Christmas to get in there if he wants to get the retirement out of the fucking way, which I think he does.
Wait to turn into, like, you know, just eating all the time and getting the points in, not worrying about it, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
But not that he gets even time to drink the pork. We give him an awful time, I'll go.
I asked him, did he want a pint on Sunday? Did he have a few pints?
Yeah, he did.
He did in the end, yeah. It was probably a bit early when I asked him if he wants a pint. I think it was about just after breakfast time.
Just yourself at that stage.
All right, you can catch us on Twitter. I'm at Niall McGrath4. He's at PT Carroll, at Severe MMA, at Talking Brawls, and on our phone line, +353 838 580 862. I hope I can find my phone, actually. I don't know where the fuck it is. It's around there somewhere.
Shall we discuss UFC Sao Paulo?
Yeah, once I cough up my lung. Oh, okay, yeah.
Jesus. This is the chorus I listen to every morning.
Oh, man, I've had a cold. Like, it's all that air con and crap.
All them cigarettes.
The weather change. All that
alcohol.
I don't smoke. What are you talking about? yeah, interesting fight card. I only caught up with it, I'm not going to lie, last night. I haven't even watched the whole card. I've seen Claudia Gadea's fight against Courtney Casey. I saw Almeida's TKO victory over Morales. And I watched the main event, Ryan Bader against Nogueira, and I saw one other fight, Darren Stewart against Francisco Barroso, an inadvertent headbutt that was overturned.
I didn't see that
by the commission. It was ridiculous to overturn that. Clearly, he didn't mean it.
And then, so they did. They had one boo boo earlier in the night, and then they had to get out of the thing.
Yeah,
where she boots Courtney Casey.
Yeah,
in the head.
Yeah.
And no points taken. No.
Yeah, it was a strange one. I think she would have won anyway, but obviously.
Obviously. Like, let's play. The rules are there for a reason. Like,
yeah, do you think that messed up Courtney Casey's performance, that kick to the head?
But she looked like she was completely rocked by it, to be honest, after it happened. So, yeah, of course it did.
Do you think it should have stopped?
And then straight away, and then in the third round, like when the action resumed, Gadela's key advantage was on the feet where, you know, and Brian Stan did a great job of pointing out, like, how Courtney was blinking throughout the sequences, like, obviously still kind of rocked by the shot that seemed to hit her on the top of the head. I think the Brazilian fans were feeling as if it hadn't happened. It was clear contact. It just wasn't to the face. It's even worse, though, when you're just catching someone on the top of the head.
Yeah, I think the Brazilian fans see what they want at times. Shut the fuck up. They do. Ooh, vamos, hey, but no, you know, you look at Claudia Gadea, you know, what's next for her? Because, you know, she's not going to get a title shot anytime soon. Let's be honest, again.
Yeah, well, it's just, that's the problem, I suppose. Well, there is a nice few fighters at strawweight. Like, I mean, like, I think there's more options than people give a credit for.
Typing like up the division there?
Yeah, I'm having a quick look here, so you can have a look at. Who's Van Zandt fighting next?
She's a fight coming up soon.
She has to, right? Because, I mean, they're obviously going to want her to fight for a title at some stage because she's such a good draw and stuff.
she's such a good draw and stuff because she's so hard.
But she is It's like people really care about her. I mean,
she's so awesome.
It's like she has that crossover appeal. I don't think she's yet to kind of catch the wave that the likes of Ronda has or Conor has, but you can tell the way. What?
She's not that far off it.
She's, oh really? Yeah, I don't really.
She's done Dancing for the Stars and all that in the States.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a million miles away.
What?
She's not a million miles away.
What about like Esparza? Who's Esparza fighting next? She's just one of Wallace's fighters, isn't she?
No, she's Ian McCall's teammate, Team Oyama.
Yeah, so maybe
that'd be an interesting one. I think, that would be an interesting one. But
about Karolina Kowalkiewicz against her?
No, I'd like that, yeah. I'd pay money to watch that. Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a cracking fight. But does that eliminate one of their trajectories against straight away?
No, I don't think Claudia's getting a shot anytime soon. Again, like two of her last four fights have been against
Joanna. Yeah, I know, but
is this
a fight that you maybe do later on for a number one contender rather than put it on when...
Yeah, probably. I'd like to see Esparza fight because I don't know if she's injured or what. She hasn't had a fight in so long. Seems like forever.
What about Rose versus Gadela? Or is that just doing exactly what I just said?
Yeah, that's doing exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
But
there is a lot of good fight. Like, I mean, the division is very exciting. I love this division now.
Yeah, so do I. Valerie Le Trouble Tourneau. That'll be a tough test for her. Claudia Gadea and Valerie, I'd like to see that. Or do they fight already? No, they didn't. No, I'd like to see that. That's a good scrap. There you go. That's my fight.
Jojo Calderwood. What are we going to do with Jojo?
Oh, who knows, man? Who knows what's going to happen with Jojo? She's been disappointing in her tenure so far. I have to say that. Who's tweeting? Jaeger Artist is now following you. Okay, whoever Jaeger Artist is. Okay, moving on. Ryan Bader. Impressive, but another guy, let's be honest. There's not much room for him in that light heavyweight division to really go up anymore. Is that fair enough? You know, he's a little bit, you know, he's been beaten by the sort of the top three guys in that division. And I don't know what you do with Ryan Bader. I really don't. He's sort of in limbo there. Do you not feel that way?
Yeah, like, and I think that's evident from the matchup they gave him. Like, he's one fight from being finished with his contract and they give him like a clear win. Like,
he's a guy, man, I could see being gone over to Bellator.
Phil, like, there's a good light heavyweight division there. There's interesting fights. There's McGreary, there's Davis.
But if he wants to win a belt, that's his best opportunity, is to go over there.
But then he's just going to be like fighting the likes of Sonnen and Tito and stuff like that. Like, that's the way they'll use him eventually. Like.
In fairness to him, he's only lost once in his last like fucking nine fights or something. So, but yeah, I know, dramatically
to Johnson, like.
Yeah, he's not going to be
pretty there. Dramatically against Teixeira. Like, he got rocked with, like, he rocked Teixeira, and Teixeira came back and milled him.
It's hard. It's been
a tough week. He's come a long, long way since like Tito bet him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'd say he was there staring down the barrel of what the fuck am I even doing here? When Tito bet him there, I think that's Tito's last ever win.
Yeah.
No, you bet your man. Actually, sorry, you bet Shemelenko, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right, Shemelenko. Yeah. So like. It's a bit sort of nowhere, isn't it?
I don't know. If I'm in Bader's situation now where I'm just in that UFC title conversation, do I go now?
Yeah, I'd go.
Would you, yeah?
Well, like, there's no more fights.
I don't see Bellator breaking the bank to get him, though. Like, this could be like, I don't know.
But a lot of people
are whispering that, you know, Aljamain Sterling, he went and tested that free agency market and isn't quite what he thought it would be.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so is that a situation that Bader could find himself in and then have to kind of go with the UFC offer?
Yeah, I don't know. Move up to heavyweight, Ryan.
No, but they'll lose favor. You know what I mean? Like, if they even, like, I don't for a second think that the UFC don't take it as an insult when someone tells them they want to test the market.
Oh, yeah. I should look at Joe Duffy. He's sort of been cast away, really, isn't he? I've heard anything from Joe. It's a pain in the ass the way they do it. Joe definitely should have fought in one of these cards. We've had recently. I know he wanted on the Belfast card. I know he wanted on 205. You know, he's just been told he's going to have to sit and wait because he's testing free agency. I don't know, man. It's a pain in the balls. The sooner I think we get this fighters union, the better. To resolve things like this. And okay.
It's going to get very interesting with that fighters union because it's going to have one of the big dogs come out and support it eventually.
Donald.
Even if it's just like you're like. like reacting like, you know, way too quickly on something and someone putting their allegiance behind it. That's all it needs, really.
Yeah, 100%. Donald looks to be a big advocate of the fighters union. That's a strange one because he is a company guy as well. So that would be interesting to try and stir the pot a little bit with the UFC.
But I mean, surely if you're a company guy, you should be rewarded to the point that you wouldn't even suggest that. You know what I mean?
Well,
you're a company guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, he is suggesting it. So
good. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I know. The lawyer for him, yeah.
Even though he did say, fuck you, Irish.
Yeah.
That wasn't very nice when we bumped into him. Outside the hotel in New York. Okay, moving on.
He didn't say that to me, no way.
Because you're the king of Ireland. Okay, Thomas Almeida, good to see him back in the win column. You know, albeit...
Looking like he put on a bit of size there, yeah. Kyle, if you don't mind me saying.
Who, me?
No, Thomas Almeida.
Yeah, I know, yeah. There was some weird looking dudes. I don't even want to get into it because I'll probably get in trouble if I say something. Or some
don't
of our
get
listeners.
In trouble. Say what you're going to say.
I just thought, you know... Kamaru Usman, defeated Warley Alves. I thought Warley looked a little bit pudgy. He wasn't the ripped Warley we've seen in the past.
But Almeida looked huge. Almeida looked bigger than ever. I'm just going to Google a picture of him versus Cody so I can actually get this into my head.
I thought he was crap, though. I know he won, but... He looked, you know, the one thing he didn't want to do against Morales, he did. And that was just, you know, it's sort of, you know, there were like two robots just throwing swings. Ultimately, like he got caught by Morales.
I don't think so. I thought he was very good.
I thought he was better in the first. And I think he just got a little bit, you know,
I love the way he started. It turned into a brawl, ultimately. Well, I mean, he was dealing with a guy who didn't really, like he was exchanging for some parts. He was winging him with big right hands, but a lot of time he was backing up. And I love the way he was coming into the striking range and he was just dipping his head. Like he did it so many times. He would climb in and just when he was getting very close, he'd start dipping his head to get him to move. And then he countered with that right hand. I thought he was.
But he got caught a lot.
I don't think compared to his other fights, I don't think he got caught.
I think that's an area of his game he really needs to improve.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm saying. I think he has improved. Like, I mean, he usually gets clipped around.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, he did eat a good few, but I mean.
Well, I think he needs to improve more if he wants to talk about realistically winning that belt.
Yeah, because of Garbrandt and Kachi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, it's absolutely. Game over.
But I think I did see an improvement there, albeit you can't really say that, you know, considering that he was, you know, fighting Cody Garbrandt in the last fight. I mean, I think he's a little bit further up the ladder than Morales at this stage. So, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it is something that is important for him moving forward. But I think he has worked on it.
Okay, definitely. All right. Is there anything else we really need to talk about this week? We've no questions.
Bellator.
Bellator. Yeah, quickly. We'll have to get through this because I have to get the fuck out of here. Okay, yeah, Bellator. Michael Venom Page gets the victory.
Yes. I've heard. Now, we're just mentioning this because we haven't actually got a chance to look at it yet. Yeah. But, you know, apparently not a convincing performance from Mr. MVP. Obviously, a Team Sheehan member, and Mr. Sheehan was very vocal about being unsatisfied with his performance during the night. Now, me and you have been talking about this for a long time.
A long time.
Very entertaining. Don't get me wrong. Spectacular. Don't get me wrong. But have we seen him in a real, real legitimate fight yet?
No.
Maybe this was, you know, I have to see it. I wasn't familiar with, you know what I mean? It's
Gonzalez.
Yeah, he's you know, this is gonna cast more doubt on this guy now. It's like a lot of people are already kind of saying, oh well, you know, if he got any type of decent test, he'd be wrestled to bits. And then you have this guy Fernando Gonzalez come in, 33-year-old dude, you know, veteran campaigner for Bellator. You know, he, in fairness to him, he was coming in on a win streak. You know, he was a good fighter, but I mean, MVP should be able to deal with like a middle tier fighter, like the way they've been building him up so spectacular. I mean, it's just.
But they need to give him that. It's their best division, and he still hasn't fought anyone, you know, of note in that division. You know, your likes, your Benson Hendersons, you've your Kershakovs, you've your Diego Lima, the champion, you've. Rory McDonald, you know, their list does go on. It's easily by far and away their best division. They've Paul Daly. Why don't they throw him in with Paul Daly? You know, if he's going to beat someone, if he's that much of a good striker, let him throw them with Paul fucking Daly and see who the man is. No, seriously, I'm not joking. You know, it's got to a stage now where I think it's taking the piss. They really need to stop giving him these guys to build his stock. He's been talked about for the last 2 years. Give him a fucking test, Bellator. Simple. I'm getting sick of fucking talking about it. Fuck me. That's Angry Niall.
No, you never get angry.
There you go. So I think we just put a fucking lid on that there, Pete.
And a split decision as well. Yeah, I think we should definitely watch this fight together and then you comment.
Yeah, we fucking will. We record it for the crack and put it up on fucking Severe.
Okay. Michael Chandler beats Benson Henderson.
I heard it was a cracking fight. I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't seen it. Because that's two title fights, two losses for Ben Henderson. Has he lived up to what Bellator was hoping to be?
Well, I think he lost a couple of his fights in the UFC during his title reign. I think he's always been a little bit, overrated in his abilities. And I'm actually glad that Michael Chandler won, because I think he's more of an exciting fighter, a lot more exciting than Benson Henderson, if we're honest about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it, but he looked like he threw him a few suplexes or something.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch.
I'm not really looking forward to seeing it. So, no, I am. I think it's better for their division that a guy like Michael Chandler is winning instead of Mr. Henderson, because he is a little bit, he's not the most funnest guy in the microphone either.
How does Joe Duffy stack up against Michael Chandler?
Smokes him. that'd be a great fight. Something that we might well see in 2017 if Joe leaves the UFC. I think it'd be
I think they're idiots if they let go of Joe.
Oh, it's a fucking joke. Don't even get me started on that.
This has been very anti-UFC this week, hasn't it?
Yeah. We need stuff like this. The odd time. We need to call it how it is. And we do. I think we do. If they let Joe go, man, seriously, what the fuck are you doing if you let Joseph Duffy go? You've serious issues if you're letting Joseph Duffy go. They need Joe.
But they just don't, this is what
they should be putting more weight behind.
They don't care. That will be another sign of, Joe clearly isn't trying to break the bank here.
Yeah, 100%. We both know Joe well. We've both reached out to Joe.
He's just not that kind of
guy. He's not that kind of guy, yeah, 100%.
But the fight I pay is just so poor. It's just so poor.
It is. It's pathetic.
It's absolutely, guys, if you knew what these lads were getting paid, you would never, and I appreciate Artem saying to me, it's full of moaners and complainers and stuff, but Jesus Christ, when it's that blatant,
Yeah. Oh, it's a joke.
Entry-level UFC is just...
It's pathetic.
It's criminal.
The guys can see it. You can get... I've posted them out before. I get the Las Vegas Athletic Commission. I get the pay salaries. Some of these guys are getting $6,000 for a fight, you know what I mean? Three-month camp. They have to pay bills. They have to pay their training partners, things like that. They're walking away.
They have to realize that you might be inactive for six months.
These guys are walking away with minus, they're making a couple of $100 probably, if even, or some of them are in minus. It's ridiculous, man. Something needs to change. And hopefully it will in 2017. It's going to be interesting to see what the new ownership does of the UFC. There's also been a lot of staff cuts and things like that. So listen, use your voice.
Look at what happened when... Siri isn't a guy to complain at all. And look what happened when he gave out to Reebok.
Yeah, you saw that.
Sorted out.
Fair play to Neil as well. He gave $1,000 to that kid. Rory's Wish.
Wish to Walk.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Neil. That's why the fans are so endearing of Mr. Neil Siri when he does things like that. Selfless act, class act from Neil Siri. Okay, PT, I need to get out of here. I'll have to go.
I'm going to really miss you.
You're on your hull. Big thanks to Mark Casey for Mark Dia Casey for
Mark Casey.
Yeah,
strong fibs for
for stopping by in the show this week. If you want to get in contact, you guys on Twitter at Niall McGrath for at PT Carl at Severe MMA at Talking Brawls. I'm sorry, guys. It's been a bit lackluster this week. I think it's just the last 2 weeks, the accumulation of everything. I'm a little bit hungover from my birthday celebrations last night too. We'll be back in full effect with a stacked lineup. I was telling you about who we've on next week, Petey, and I've loads of stuff coming up interviews wise. So yeah, look out for them. Ian McCall, hopefully. Kevin Lee. I never like actually telling the fans who we're going to have on. And Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Just in case
that's
they don't
realise. That's a lot to deliver now,
that is. And McGrath will deliver. I'm known as
the...
There you have it. All right, so from Peter Carroll and Niall McGrath, it is good luck, and can I catch you next week, guys.
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Ball.